You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Well, welcome to Dr. Ralph von Quaelen. You've really got a story to tell, and we're anxious to hear about it. Before we get to the story itself, where were you born? Where were you raised?
Well, I was born in Streator, Illinois. I grew up in Gardner, Illinois, which is about 60 miles south of Chicago. I attended Valparaiso University, spent some time in the Peace Corps after that. I did graduate work and received a PhD from Purdue University in plant pathology.
You had a PhD, which is a ticket to a good job and a comfortable life. What was your motivation to go to Ghana?
It was actually my motivation to go to Ghana, or to a developing country, that prompted me to go and to get the PhD at Purdue.
You're obviously not a missionary to plants. How do you use your training from Purdue in Ghana?
We work with people, helping them to develop new techniques of growing corn and sorghum, and also helping them in digging wells and becoming literate in their own language.
Do you share the Christian faith in the course of that work?
Yes, we do. Our responsibilities are meeting people's temporal needs, but certainly in our day-to-day lives, we have the chance and opportunity to share about Christ. In one village, for instance, I went to visit to talk to them about starting a well in their village. And I was sitting with the elders and waiting for other people to come. We were just sitting on some logs outside of their mud home. And they were explaining to me that they didn't know what the problem was. They weren't getting the rains they needed for their crops. And they'd offered all the traditional sacrifices that would have meant for them chickens, usually maybe a goat or something like that. But these weren't making any difference, that still the rains weren't coming, and they wanted my advice. What could they do to bring the rains? Well, that was a great opportunity for me to tell them why I was there, about the God that I knew, who had created heaven and earth, and who himself had offered the only sacrifice necessary, that being his only son. Through that brief interaction, and then referring them to one of our trained church leaders in the Bemoba area, that village now has a church. So that's one example of how the work that I do does relate back to people and gives opportunity for witnessing to Christ.
God's been with you your whole life long, but last summer you especially sensed how real God's presence is. When did that happen?
That was on July 15th in the early morning hours, about 2 a.m. Sharon, something's happening outside, and I could hear something. First, I thought it was some farmers. We have some weaver birds and some palm trees near our house. And these birds will rip up the corn, young corn plants, and make nests out of them. And I thought someone was trying to disturb these. And Sharon said, "No, I don't think that's what it is." And I looked out, and I saw little explosions all around our storage facilities. Well, it took me a few minutes to find my shoes, and kind of in that 2 a.m. fog, walked out to see what the problem was. I thought maybe there was some problem with the fuel storage, or fuel in storage. And I walked halfway across the yard, probably about 150 feet, and all of a sudden these explosions started coming towards me, like little firecrackers. In fact, that's what my thought was. These are firecrackers, and someone's playing a practical joke, trying to scare me or something. And then a voice I had never heard before yelled, "We want your money, give us your money." And the shooting continued towards me. And I guess at that time it was kind of like the earth could have just opened and swallowed me at that time. I had never in my life come up against a person who was unreasonable, someone shooting at me. I turned and ran, and I was locking the door to our house, hoping to protect my family. But they chased me. And as I turned the key in the lock, they shot an automatic rifle through the door, trying to shoot the lock. I didn't count them at the time, but people who went back to the house said there were about 9 shots must have been fired from that rifle, 2 of which hit me in my abdomen. And I looked down and I saw 2 holes in my side. And I remember yelling to Sharon, "I've been shot," and turning. And somehow I ended up in a corner behind that door. And shortly after that, these men came into the house and demanded of my wife that she give them whatever money we had in the house. I was not able to get up, but I heard my wife scream in the bedroom, and there was really nothing I could do. The feeling I had, I guess, is despair, that I was laying there helpless. I tried to get up. There was nothing I could do. But I remembered my identity as a child of God, and I called on Jesus. I just cried, "Jesus, help." And that gave me some comfort to call on His name in that situation.
Tell us about the evacuation.
After the men left, I myself was not able to get up. And then a friend of ours, Kwaku, came down from the village with some policemen and some friends to help. They were able to start the car. Once we arrived at the medical center, we remembered that many of their staff were at a retreat in the southern part of the country. But in a few minutes, there was a doctor who came forward. He was a volunteer doctor, had to come there for a short time during this retreat when some of the other doctors were in the southern part of the country. This doctor was professor of surgery at Macon, Georgia, and had dealt with gunshot wounds on a fairly regular basis.
A lot of people would say, "Wow, you were lucky."
I don't believe much in luck. I tell people, if I had known a year ahead of time I would need this kind of care, I couldn't have arranged it myself. I can only thank my God that He knew I needed it and had that care ready.
What was the name of the surgeon that God provided?
That was Dr. Robert Schaffstall. The one doctor who'd stayed behind on their regular staff was Dr. George Fail, who was an anesthesiologist whom we also needed. He also happened to have my blood type, so that was convenient because there's no blood banks there.
In time, you were evacuated to the United States for medical care here. Could you tell me how God was present in that evacuation?
Well, at the time, I wasn't real conscious of everything that was going on, but Sharon told me later that the doctors were quite concerned there would be any complications that developed, infection or any sort. They would not have the facilities there to deal with that and felt it important that I be taken back to the U.S. where better health care would be available. But they said they really needed a miracle in order to get me down 500 miles to the Accra, the capital of Ghana, and then to get me aboard the KLM Airlines, or an airline, to send me to the U.S. Well, they prayed about it, and a couple hours later, the head government official in our area stopped by and asked Sharon if there was anything he could do to help. And she told him, "We need an airplane to get Ralph flown down to the capital so we can go ahead and make arrangements to fly him out." Well, he went ahead and made that arrangement, and by 5 o'clock the next morning, they had me loaded into a car and carried me about 80 miles north to an airstrip where I was then flown to Accra. Then, apparently, there are some international flight regulations that prohibit someone less than 2 weeks post-operative from making international flights. So our business manager, Reverend Dick Brandon, negotiated with the Dutch and American embassies as well as the airline, and they made allowances for me to get on board. About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they brought a waiver for me to sign, and at 8 o'clock in the evening, I was on board a flight that would take me to Chicago. That was great, and one of the miraculous things about that is all along the way, Dr. Schaffstall, who had performed the surgery, was with me. And he went back with me on his regularly scheduled flight which would have gone through Chicago and administered the drugs and the care that I needed to get me back to the States.
God really was there. Didn't that come through again and again as you heard missionary Von Quaylen talk about his experiences in Ghana? Psalm 66 says, "Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping." God's protecting shield really was there. You can look back and find the same divine shield in your past. The accident that could have been worse, but it wasn't. The job change that was forced upon you, but surprisingly turned out for the best. The illness that looked like the end, but really became a new beginning in your life. That's not luck. That's God shielding you. You can expect God to shield you. Obviously, this world can be a fearful place to live, and that's because of sin. To live securely and to live confidently, you need to be freed from the terrors that abound in our sinful society. And that starts with you. You need to have the assurance that your own personal sins have been paid for. You need to know that the apparent chaos and meaninglessness of life all around us, that's not God's way of getting even with you for the things you've done wrong. You need the security and the confidence that comes from God's forgiveness. God the Father sent His Son Jesus into this world to do exactly that, to forgive you and to break the power of sin in your own life. Jesus did that by His death on the cross for your sins. God the Father restored His Son Jesus to life to show us that we can put our confidence in Him, and in Him we can feel secure. Yes, indeed, you can expect God to shield you. When you've made a major investment in a home, a car, a business, or whatever, you give that investment your attention, your care. So much more, God the Father, who invested His own Son in your forgiveness. St. Peter says, "You were freed from the worthless life you inherited from your fathers, not by a payment of silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ." Such an investment that God has made in you. Often God's shield seems invisible to us. That's why the shield of God's power is known by faith. It's not known by sight. We can't always comprehend everything that's going on in our lives. That's why we take pictures. That's why we write histories. And that's why we have instant replays. We have to look back constantly in order to understand our present and future. Looking back and comparing our own experiences with God's promises in the Bible shows us that God really was there for us, and His shield will be there for you in the future. Faith in God's protective shield is also forward-looking. Missionary Von Quaylen is returning to Ghana. That is a forward-looking faith. Your faith, strengthened by the remembrance of God's power and presence in your past, looks forward to today, to tomorrow, and especially to that day St. Peter promises will be a day of praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ comes again at the end of time, a day when your salvation is fully revealed. Such a forward-looking faith gives us great confidence, especially when things don't turn out the way we had hoped. When crime or tragedy does claim a victim, what do we say? Is faith in God shown to have been misplaced? Does God's shield have holes in it? There are times when we just don't understand why God seemed to withhold the shield from a victim. But forward-looking faith can handle such a tragedy. For in those cases, the gospel moves us to say what St. Paul said, "We are hard-pressed, but not crushed. In doubt, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." Do we ever say that faith in Christ is misplaced, that God's shield is unreliable? Oh, no, we don't say that. Tragedies drive us even more to God and faith. For while life can appear so meaningless to human reason, the ultimate goal of Christian life is known to us. That goal is to be saved once and for all time when Jesus comes again. Dr. Philip Melanchthon said that faith in our God and Savior enlivens the fearful mind. Do you remember the Patriot missiles? No one thought that the Patriot missiles were bad things. Scud alerts were unnerving, and debris from intercepted missiles fell and sometimes did damage. But those Patriots proved to be a shield. In the crises and tragedies of life, God's power is a shield for you to trust. Dr. Luther wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon." His shield of power can enliven your confidence for the future. Rather than pull our heads in and hide, faith in the power and providence of God sends you forth today and tomorrow, and it sends you forth with security. So I ask you, embrace this God who has invested so much in you. Look confidently to the future and take the shield of God's power by faith. Amen. I understand you're going back to Ghana. Was that a difficult decision? And what motivated you to return to this place where you've been hurt?
Well, it was a decision that wasn't made easily. We gave it a lot of thought and prayer, as God demonstrated in this incident, His faithfulness that He would care for us and be with us. It seemed inappropriate for us as a response to that to say, well, I've had enough of life in Ghana. I think, too, through this incident, we're always looking through painful experiences for some good that would come out of it, just as we are promised that all things will work together for good for those who love the Lord. And in our lives, in our work, where we would hope to see that good come out of this painful incident would be in Ghana. And I really want to be there to see that good happen.
Your story has reminded us, and perhaps taught some people for the first time, how God shields His own children. I want to thank you, Dr. Van Quelen, for that story. And I pray that He will continue to shield you and be with you as you return to Ghana and do the precious work that you are about.
Well, thank you. And we pray God's blessing on you and His shield as well as you go about His work here.